of texters chiming in as we were talking about the shooting in Aurora yesterday, saying Aurora Central High School may have considered it a safe place for the students to be. Not sure of the population they serve there, but I'm guessing it would truly be in the students' best interest to have somewhere to go. And that's a good point. That's one that I hadn't considered either. You know, I don't know what the demographics are or anything like that, but having everybody in a spot that is some sense of normalcy after something like that could be that's a very logical point. So thank you so much for chiming in there. Again, you can text in as well at 888-530-0043. Joining me now up on the hotline, it is the editor with Biz West. It is Chris Wood joining us, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest. Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Tanner. Although, you know, I'm going through a little bit of withdrawals. We don't have any Northern Colorado Regional Airport news this morning to report. So,
I thought you were just going to say that you didn't have any of those Northern Colorado beer conferences that you were going to for a couple of weeks there. That's what
I do have a beer story to talk about today. But,
yes.
I have not had a beer conference, a beer roundtable for a while.
So, hey, let's.
There are withdrawals associated with that as well.
Let's open with that story. This was huge that broke last week. We talked about it on Brew Talk, but New Belgium and Bell's Brewery merging together now. This is a huge merger.
Yeah, it really is. You know, New Belgium was acquired back in 2019 by Lion Little World Beverages out of Australia. That brewery is actually owned out of Japan, if you go up the ladder. But now Bell's Brewery out of Michigan has also been acquired by Lion Little World, and they're presenting this as a merger with New Belgium. However, both brands will really function in part separately, and they'll maintain their brands, maintain their different brews, and you'll see Fat Tire on the same shelf as some of the Bell's Brewery brands. So, pretty significant deal for New Belgium, but also Bell's Brewery and Lion Little World.
Yeah, and Lion Little World, what I thought was interesting, you know, we talked about it back in 2019 when New Belgium was acquired by them, that I thought that, okay, what are they going to, are they going to leave New Belgium alone? Are they going to change anything? I think the smartest thing they did is they kind of left them alone. They left that local feel still there because that's important in the craft beer world.
It's essential. I think it's one of the critical ingredients for a craft brewery to be successful is to have that local connection and that story to tell. And they have really seem to have left them alone and let them operate. This is a very significant deal. New Belgium produced about 975,000 barrels of beer last year. And of course, that was in Fort Collins and Asheville, and they have other operations in Denver and San Francisco. Bell's produced more than 466,000 barrels. So this really brings the combined company up on the scale, up on the rankings of breweries, brewing operations nationwide.
It does. And I mean, you're talking about people like Anheuser-Busch that they're going to start competing with now. And with that big of a merger, you got to wonder what the impacts will be and if they will kind of leave Bell's alone. I think this is a bigger impact on Bell's as they're not quite as big as what New Belgium has been.
Right. And it is interesting and probably smart of them that they are essentially leaving them alone. Although the founder of Bell's is retiring, some of the other executives will remain with the company in prominent roles. But you will see, Fat Tire alongside the Two Hearted Ale for Bell's and Oberon Ale. And I actually had not tried their Amber Ale, but I tried that the other day, and that's a very nice nice beer as well. So I did get some beer news in here. Tanner,
I appreciate it. Yeah, did you notice that this might be the story that I know the most about that we've talked about in our 6 months of doing this, Chris?
That's great. Well, that says a lot about you, Ken.
I think it does. I don't think it's anything new to my listeners that I enjoy a nice beer every once in a while. Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, joining me now. Okay, let's jump to UNC now. This was something that President Andy Feinstein was talking about. There's a new medical school coming in.
That's right. They've been talking about this for a while, but UNC has decided to kind of take that next step and establish an osteopathic medical school on the Greeley campus. This is a very significant step for UNC and for Greeley. This will be about $135 million school to get it up and running. A lot of that will come from external sources, such as philanthropic support. But they've got a lot of hurdles to jump through in terms of accreditation and other approvals that are necessary. But they expect to have their first class of students in the fall of 2025. So as I say, there are some steps that still have to be taken, but they are moving forward with this new medical school at UNC.
Is there going to be new buildings going up? Is this going to be going into one of the previously standing buildings?
Yeah, I think there will be some new construction that will occur there. I don't have details on that yet, but that would be, this $135 million does include the cost of new facilities, and as well as the cost of pursuing the accreditations that they need and hiring of faculty and staff. And along with accreditation, they have to have a certain amount of money in escrow. So this would help meet that obligation as well out of that $135 million figure. But as you know, there's a shortage of, in really all industries now, but it's especially acute in the medical industry, a shortage of all sorts of specialists and doctors and nurses. And this will really help address some of the shortage on the osteopathic medicine side here in Colorado.
Well, I know you had mentioned it, that this planning had been going on for quite some time, but 2025 sounds ambitious, doesn't it?
I think they've already got a lot of this has been in the works. I believe they announced this earlier this year. So they've been working on this for quite some time. And the UNC trustees just voted on the 12th, November 12th, to take the next steps. So they're going to be applying with the Commission on Osteopathic College Accreditation. They're going to hire the founding dean of the college, and the dean then would the dean would be hired after they receive their state authorization to proceed. So there's still, as I say, some regulatory approvals, some accreditation that has to be attained, but they feel that they can hit this this goal of having students in place here in just under 4 years.
Well, and I think this is going to contribute too. We've seen a lot of growth in Weld County and the Greeley area. That's got to attract more people this way.
Absolutely, yeah, and having a medical school there, I think, will be hugely important. You know, of course, Greeley UNC has turned out nurses for many years, and this takes it one step further, kind of building on that strength that has already been there for UNC.
Talking with Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, right now up on the hotline. Let's talk about this Flatiron Park. There was a mystery tenant that we had talked about. They've been identified.
We have identified them. We found a brochure. Flatiron Park is a very large business park in Boulder. They have about 2.3 million square feet in total. About a million of that is owned by Crescent Real Estate out of Texas. And we found an executive summary. Crescent is offering their space, 21 buildings out of 50-some in Flatiron Park, for sale. And in that brochure, in that executive summary, they refer to an undisclosed tenant that was a very prominent tech tenant that has committed to about 240,000 square feet. And we put two and two together and came up with four and identified that tenant as Apple. So, as you know, Apple's been kind of teasing the market here for a couple of years about expanding in the Boulder area. Last December, they gave a little more detail saying they would expand to 700 jobs, but they have been very silent on where that would be. We previously reported that they were in a smaller operation on Sterling Drive in Boulder. We have confirmed that they are this mystery tenant going that is already in one of the buildings in Flatiron Park and has signed a lease for another. And they will be taking another new building that Crescent is building there. So the other very significant piece of this is that we have also learned of the asking price for this Flatiron Park portfolio. And with Apple in hand, the sellers, Crescent Real Estate, is seeking, we have heard, in the range of $600 million to $650 million for this million-square-foot portfolio. That would be an enormous deal. And I reported yesterday how a buyer could justify that, because the rents are not high enough to really justify a price of that magnitude. But what some analysts, some brokers told me is that a buyer would likely sell this new building that Apple is going into with a 12-and-a-half-year lease at a very high rental rate. And that building could then be flipped perhaps for $1,000 a square foot to help essentially bring down the cost of the broader portfolio. So very significant deal. Nothing has been signed yet, of course. This is what the sellers are seeking. So we'll have to see what eventually happens there in terms of a sale. But we do now know for certain that Apple is in Flatiron Park and expected to grow there.
Chris, do you expect there to be a lot of interest about this right off the bat? Or do you think with everything going on with the economy, some of those potential buyers could sit pat for a minute?
You know, I think there will be interest. Whether they'll get this high price, I don't know. But I think there will be great interest. There aren't a lot of large portfolios in Boulder of office space. And this park has a lot of technology companies like Apple. They also have a lot of laboratory space, which is in critically short supply along the Front Range. We've seen another park, the Pearl East Business Park, which in 2015 sold for $85 million. That has now sold twice since then, and the latest sale was $190 million. So it was 123% higher than it sold for just in 2015. So there is significant investor interest all around the country for commercial real estate, but we're seeing some very big deals here. We've seen the Ecton Johnson portfolio sell in both in along the Front Range in Louisville, and also more recently the two new buildings that they built in Loveland. Very significant. And the fact that Apple is in this park, the expectation is that the very fact that they're there and that they apparently have signed this new lease for 12 and a half years at a high rate, that will enable any buyer of this portfolio to raise rates for all of those buildings. Someone told me perhaps even $8 to $10 a square foot increase in rental rates that a buyer could get over time for that portfolio. So, yeah, I think there will be interest in that, and we'll just have to wait and see who a buyer might be and what the final price will be.
Yeah, that the numbers you're throwing out there are just insane, but some of the names that you're putting out there as well, also a little bit insane, and you can see why that demand is going to be there. Chris, let's talk overall big picture at the economy right now. It seems like, you know, inflation rates, things like that, it's got some people very nervous about when this could come to a grinding halt, but everything that you are reporting on right now seems like it's full steam ahead.
Yeah, in certain sectors, it is. I think you're right, though. There is definitely concern about inflation. There's widespread supply chain issues through all aspects of the economy, and that is contributing to inflation. The question is, will this be a short-term blip on inflation? You know, if the supply chain issues are worked out here over the next 6 to 12 months, will inflation then come back under control? Or will we need to see the Fed take more action and start hiking interest rates? And I think that there's definite concern out there. I think that whether we will see a slowdown as we saw during the early days of COVID, or going back to 2007 and 8, I don't know about that, of course, but there's definitely concern in certain sectors, and it's the thing you hear every day is supply chain and labor shortage every day.
Every single day. That's on the 2021 bingo card, I'm pretty sure, for the key phrases that we're going to be looking back at when this year does wrap up. Chris, I appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much, my friend, and let me know when we need to go sample the new Bell's Brewery beer.
We'll have to do that. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right,
I appreciate
take care.
It. That's Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest Magazine, joining us. If you're looking to do lunch today, you got meetings coming up, check out the tavern at St. Michael's Square. It is Taco Tuesday. They've got a ton of great options for you at the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Also, they are currently hiring for a bartender spot. So if you're looking to make some extra money, they've got daytime and some nighttime shifts available. It's a tavern at St. Michael's Square. Closing in on 10:53. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side with the headline that caught our eye. Wrap up this edition of NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.